It's Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. Welcome back into the program. Missouri football looking for a bounce back. They had a tough one last weekend when they went to College Station and lost to Texas A&M 41-10. How much can they really prove going to a not-so-good UMass team? Well, probably not that much, but to get more on that, we're very happy to welcome on to the program. He is part of the team at Power Mizzou. You follow them on Twitter at PowerMizzou.com. He is Gabe DeArmond. And Gabe, thanks so much for taking some time with us today. How are you?
Yeah, no problem. Not bad. What's going on?
What can this team prove coming off the weekend that they had last weekend, obviously, that did not go well?
Zero. I mean, like, tomorrow means the only way we find out anything tomorrow is if it's, you know, a game in the second half. Mm-hmm. But other than that, look, this is one of the, I don't know, 10, 12 worst teams in FBS. Maybe a little better than Murray State, but they beat Missouri, beat Buffalo 38-0. Buffalo beat UMass 34-3. There's not much I'm going to find out tomorrow. Their next chance to show anything is a week from tomorrow against Auburn.
Was the only way that there would have been any value in this game is if they would have played it before Texas A&M, so they would have at least had a road experience before going to College Station?
I don't know that that would have mattered. I mean, it's literally UMass's stadium holds 17,000 people. I would imagine a third of that is going to be Missouri fans tomorrow that are making the trip to, you know, have some clam chowder and see the leaves in New England. I don't think it would have made a whole lot of difference. I don't really understand why the game is being played, but hey, it's there, at least there, but it's an easy win and you go take it and move on.
A lot of people focusing in on what happened last weekend, but if you really take a step back, there were flaws against Boston College. They found a win. There were flaws against Vanderbilt. They found a win. And then Texas A&M happens. That's three straight games where maybe they've not put their best effort onto the field. How important is it, the value of this game, how important is it that just from a Mizzou standpoint, that they go out there and they, at the end of the day, they feel like they played well?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's maybe important for the players, right? Like, maybe it would do something for Brady Cook's confidence to go out and throw for 404 touchdowns, for the offensive line's confidence to not give up six sacks and 10 tackles for loss. Again, I don't think it proves anything, but I think the bigger point is kind of what you said. It's not just three straight games. We are now basically halfway into this season, and I don't really think Missouri's played well yet. So, you know, I started saying after the BC game, at some point, it sounds good to say, yeah, you're winning these games with your C game. But if that's the game you keep putting on your on the field, it's not your C game. It's actually your A game. That becomes at some point who you are. And right now, who Missouri is a very average football team that is ranked, you know, 18th in the country solely because it was ranked 11th in the country to start the season. Like, they've not really done anything that impresses anybody. And again, the next chance is going to be next weekend.
We had your colleague Gerard Hamilton on the program last week leading into the Texas A&M game, and he said something really smart that I've been repeating over and over and over when looking at the how important that game was, and it's the same before and after. The rest of the schedule for Missouri, they've got an Alabama team that they'll play on the road that's likely a loss. When you look at Oklahoma's schedule, there's certainly no guarantee that Oklahoma is going to be ranked when they play them coming up in November. That in terms of this team being a college football playoff team, possibly losing the way they lost to Texas A&M, it's hard to find spots on the schedule outside of Alabama that really get you back into that picture.
Yeah, it was hugely damaging, not because it was a loss, but because of the way it happened. But then, and I've said this a lot this week, we get tunnel vision on the team that we cover, right? And obviously, Missouri's was awful last week, and there's no sugarcoating that. But when you look around, the only team in the SEC without a loss right now is Texas. I mean, is Missouri losing in the fashion it did to Texas A&M worse than Alabama losing to Vanderbilt close? I mean, probably, but not by a lot. The point is, everybody in the country is, like, there are going to be two lost teams in the playoffs. There's no question. Now, can Missouri be one of those? Who knows? There's a lot to play out between now and then. But I actually feel better today about Missouri's chances to get into the playoff at 10-2 than I would have felt last Friday. And that has nothing to do with Missouri. That has everything to do with everything else that's happened in college football. I mean, if you look at, you know, Tennessee lost to Arkansas. Well, maybe that's not that damaging a loss, except the problem is Tennessee still has Alabama and Georgia left on the schedule. And if they lose those two at 9-3, they're not going to get in. You know, so there's only 9 unbeaten power conference teams in the country. 2 of them play each other this weekend. You know, Missouri goes and I mean, look, if they win at Alabama, that obviously changes everything. But even if they lose at Alabama, even though they don't have a lot of impressive wins, I think we're discounting the fact that there might not be that many impressive resumes across the country. You know, and for this Missouri team, I legitimately think everything between 11-1 and 6-6 is on the table. I have no idea what to expect, and that's really true of most of college football. I mean, I don't know that we have any elite teams, and every year we start this thing in like week 2 of here's who would be in the playoff if it started today, and then 4 weeks later we look up and go, oh, maybe we shouldn't have done that because it was all just a waste of our time.
And to your point about Missouri being in the spot they are because of the preseason ranking, they're never going to get rid of preseason rankings, but at the same time, if you're up high, it's you're only going to fall so much where teams that, you know, I think of like a team like Pitt. Where would they be ranked right now if they would have been a preseason top 25 team as opposed to a team that had absolutely no preseason expectations? And what's really the difference between them and some other teams that have had good starts to the season? It's just all based off that preseason ranking.
And preseason rankings, really what they do is protect the team in them. Like, if you're Pitt, if you're Indiana, if you're one of these teams that nobody thought anything of, if you keep winning, you'll eventually get there, right? Like Missouri did in 2013 and 2007. Like, they just kept winning games, and eventually they got there. But if you are one of these highly ranked teams to start, it's really hard to fall, especially in a week like last week. Again, we know what Missouri did. If you look around college football, 14 of the top 34 teams in the country lost. That's nearly half of the top 34 in the country. So, I mean, yeah, you drop Missouri, but like you got to drop a lot of these other teams too.
When you suffer a tough loss, sometimes coaches like to make a big statement, or you know, really look at the depth chart and create competition and practice. As this game gets started tomorrow, do you think Tigers fans might see any type of a different look from a personnel standpoint?
I think we will probably see the exact same starting lineup we saw at A&M. Now, the benefit of this game theoretically should be that you should get a chance to play some more guys, right? And maybe you throw a guy in there tomorrow that, you know, he hadn't done a lot. You don't really notice him in practice. And then all of a sudden he goes in a game and he looks pretty good. Like, maybe you find something. But I don't expect a big shake up in the starting lineup. That's honestly never really been Eli Drinkwitz's MO.
Gabe, before we get you out of here, a pretty big change here recently with Power Mizzou. You guys are now part of 24/7 Sports. I love that national service, and it's cool to see you guys move into that. I'm sure a lot of people who are listening are already subscribers to Power Mizzou, but just talk about it, if you can, this switch for you guys and what that means for people who take in your content.
Yeah, I was actually just texting with one of the guys that kind of was instrumental in us making the move today, and I said, it's been 11 days, and it seems like it's been 2 months. You know, we've been so insanely busy in the last week and a half, which is a good thing. But basically, if you just type powermizzou.com in your browser bar, you're still going to come to our site, and that was very important for us. I own that domain name, so Power Mizzou is Power Mizzou wherever it is. Our parent company has changed. It does mean you're going to have to buy a different subscription than you had. We're currently running a deal where you can have 30% off a year, or you can join for a month for $1 and decide if that's worth it to you. You know, I hope $1 is worth it to almost everybody, and they'd stick around. But for us, the move was made because, and it's been validated here in these first 2 weeks, the national network, the support we have of people covering college football and basketball and recruiting across the country is incredibly valuable. I mean, we feel good about what our staff does. What our staff does has not changed. We're doing the same things that we've done for 20 years, but we now have so many more resources that we feel like the $9.95 a month is going to be a lot more valuable than it's been the last few years.
The school that I went to made the fan site made that same type of switch a few years ago, going from your prior parent to 24/7 Sports. So I remember going along with that, and that was the moment that I was exposed to 24/7, and it is a fantastic content provider for sure.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm sure eventually, like anybody's job, right, there's going to come a day where I'm like, hey, there's this thing I don't like. But through 11 days, no complaints and really happy. And the decision has been validated as the right one for us. And we certainly hope Missouri fans come along.
Awesome. Very good. Gabe, great to talk to you a little bit. Thank you for taking the time. Congratulations on the move with the site. And hopefully we can catch up with you again down the line.
Sounds good. Appreciate you guys having me.
All right. Very good. That's Gabe DeArmond joining us here on the program. PowerMizzou.com is where you go. Fantastic Missouri coverage from the folks there. All right. We will take a break. And when we return, we'll talk playoff baseball. Danny Vietti from CBS Sports and the Wake and Rake podcast. He joins us in just a moment. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.